Audio Boom fans. All one word, and this is February. The first post from me. I want to thank Kevin McLeod, who's over at incompetech.com, for the music today. Some great royalty-free music there, and if you want to make a donation to Kev, feel free. Right, let's get this show on the road then. We're talking about apps on this first post of February. Can you say it? What am I talking about all my life? Okay, so February 2015, the first post is all about apps. Brilliant subject there, Kat. And also, thank you, Sassy Kat, for hosting 2015's February. So, the first question is, do smartphone apps help you? Are they useful for you? Is the second question. Do they cause you to waste more time? Which apps are your favourite that you can't live without? Was there an app that really disappointed you? Is another one. What's your opinion of the smartphone app for the future versus using a pencil and paper to write your shopping down? These are brilliant, brilliant questions. And quite coincidentally, I was actually going to record a separate Audio Boom post with regards to apps. Okay, here we go then. Let's forget the regular apps, okay? So things, social networking apps that I have, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, let's not talk about those. Let's talk about other apps. Okay, so what I like to do is track my fitness. I don't want to say health and fitness necessarily, because I've been sucked into a hole a couple of times about raised commas health and fitness app. A lot of people use them, but what I found was that I was recording every flipping second of the day, eating what I ate, what I drank, how many flights of stairs I was going up, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of this was manually inputted stuff. I cannot remember the damn name. I've just deleted it. Anyway. Basically, the main premise of this one particular app, I can't remember what it is, blue icon, little white dude, is you could input the foodstuffs you were consuming, and because it's quite a crowdsourced item, if you started typing whatever the foodstuff was, coffee, tea, a sandwich, you could scan the barcode on a product, it would bring up the product, and you could tap on it, or as I say, if you started typing, it would bring up a shortlist of items, so you could tap on and it would populate the data, the calorific data and nutritional data into the little short form, and you accept that, and that added that data into that particular item for that particular meal for the day. A brilliant for keeping track of what you've eaten and drank and whatnot, and how many calories you were intaking. If you weren't really savvy on that, but the thing was, it for me personally, it just took up way too much time, and so I know what I should and shouldn't be eating and drinking, so I'm not really bothered about inputting that data. However. I've banged on about one certain app before called Argos. Argos is a shop. Now, So, for those who haven't heard of that app or haven't heard my two previous Audio Boom posts about the Argus app, I'm pretty sure it was free. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. So, very, very clever the way that things are displayed. But basically, you've got these hexagons that are displayed per day. Now, the hexagons are populated with data such as the quantity of steps, the amount of steps that you've taken that day. You can also take pictures of food, should you wish to do that, and it will record a photograph of the food. There are shortlists. I'm going to go into the Argus app. Here we go. I've got my own section for health and fitness, Argus. I've got, and it also tells me, I've got, how many steps have I done today? I've only done 5,037 steps of 10,000, and you can alter the you can alter how many your step goal for the day. But I think 10,000 steps for me is about 3.5 miles of walking. Okay, so the shortlists, the what you can populate these hexagons with is lots of different things. So I'm in no particular order. Now, there's just been an update this past week, which has changed this kind of input screen. It's kind of easier in a way because it brings up the more popular ones first. So a cup of coffee, water, a cup of tea, can of energy drink. It's also connected to other apps, but I'll come on to that in a second. So food, status update, cycling, body weight, running, sleep, heart rate, yoga, walking, stretching, workout. There used to be more. That's strange. Because it used to... Oh, hang on. Workout plan. Oh, there used to be more. There used to be things... Oh, hang on, let me do this. Popular search activities. Let's go. Let's try and find commute. Yeah. Okay. So you can do commute. Yeah, there's loads of things here. Motorsports, mountain biking, workout, cardio, indoor cycling, rock climbing. There are loads of selections. Invariably, I haven't... I say that word a lot, don't I? Invariably. I don't know what every single one of those does, because there's quite a lot that, you know, I don't do. I don't go rock climbing. I haven't really tested that feature out. But what I have done, or what I have done quite a lot, is populate it with, let's see, scrolling down. If you're connected to the internet, it records the weather for you as well. Tea, coffee, it records your calories automatically. How it does that, I don't know. Just based on movement, temperature. He says, just flicking through this. No, I don't want to do that. Running, walking, hiking. Some just very clever things. It connects via GPS, so it records the route that you're taking, and it will record a mini map for you. And it will do that for a lot of those fitness or movement type activities, like driving, commuting, whatever. So it connects via the GPS on your phone, if it's got it, of course, and it can record that data. And as I mentioned there, it connects to a couple of other apps. Now, the other apps could be free, or you might have to pay. So the other couple of apps I've got connected are the heart rate monitor one and also the sleep monitor. And I must say, they're quite accurate indeed. Okay, so the heart rate monitor one, how does that work? You don't need any other kit. So what you do for the iPhone certainly is, you can go into these apps separately and use the apps in their own right, but it won't populate the data back into the Argus app. So if you want to use the, if you want to record in Argos, you have to go into Argos and then select the fact that you want to record your heart rate or sleep. So basically what you do is, with the heart rate one, when you select heart rate, it brings up the, it turns on the flash, so it's like a constant light, and you put your finger, index finger, on the lens of your camera, and the light shines into your finger, and it measures, you keep your finger on there, it tells you when to take it off, but it measures your heart rate that way. It is really scarily accurate. I was so I was just not convinced initially until I used my own heart rate monitor that's connected to my GPS watch, and it was out, it was bang on, it was exactly the same. Black magic, says I. So I know that they've imported that technology into other smartwatches now anyway. So that's one feature, which is handy. It's handy. Do I really need it? Am I going to use that data? Difficult to say, because what you need to do if you're using heart rate specifically is monitor it constantly over a period of time, whether it's exercise or walking or sleeping or sitting still, so you can monitor any changes. So it's a handy thing to have. Okay, so the next thing is the sleep. So you go into Argos, you tap the sleep. You want to record your sleep, and it it tells you the, what you need to do within the sleep monitor app, and then when that period of activity is finished, it will populate the data from the sleep app into the Argos app. And so basically you've got a record of these things that are going on all the time. The unfortunately, the only thing the Argos app will do automatically is record your steps, your movement. And it will do that even when the app is not running. And it does that by taking the information from the movement chip within iPhone 5S. I don't know if it takes the data by any other means before, for iPhones before the 5S, so 5C, 5, 4S, 4, blah, 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 blah. I don't know, I can't say for sure. But the iPhone 5S, 6 and 6 Plus have got a separate movement chip in which records movement, all different types of movement actually. And the step recorder is very, very clever. As I mentioned in those previous audio boom posts, you can't just stand there and bounce your iPhone up and down because it knows you're not moving. So very, very clever indeed. And I personally, it's very, very, very accurate. I'm amazed. I'm quite happy with that technology. So basically that's an app I like using all the time. Let me flick to my home screen. Okay, so the Apple's Health app, I mean, that's brand new with iOS 8. And so I think I haven't really taken much interest into it. I mean, it populates with a lot of data automatically. It conveys the data from other apps and puts it into the Health app. I haven't really used it that much. I'm interested in it though, because I'm interested in my own health and fitness. So the other main app I use is the Nike Plus running app, which is a newer version of the Nike Plus iPod app, except that it uses the GPS functionality in your phone, and you can share your data across various social networks and up to the Nike Plus, your Nike Plus account, to see how you're tracking your fitness. Very good. So I like using the Nike Plus running app. Coming out of that, then, what else do I use personally? Instagram. I freaking love Instagram. I like it because it's so easy. There's lots of people that... a while ago, I used to follow very, very, very closely a fella called Jared Polin, who is fronosephoto.com on the internet. And he used to not like Instagram in the start, and then he converted and became a user. And he became a user at more or less the same time. There was an episode of the Cultcast podcast where Irfan Elijah, who is the host of the podcast, was saying that Instagram shouldn't be used for people adding photographs from DSLRs. It should just be adding photographs from your phone. Excuse me. It's cold, mate. It's about minus four here. Anyway, I digress. So I'm in a way, I'm a little bit in agreement with him, except with the fact that sometimes I've imported some photographs from my GoPro camera because they're super clear and you get really good results. But Instagram, quick snap, add some filters or effects or whatever you want to do and share it out to the world for whatever reason. Here's another song. Really chuffed with it. I love Instagram, and the images can be as good or as crap as you like, really. And I think, you know, because photographs for me are all about memory, so there's Instagram. Let's close the Argos app. What else do I use personally? Oh, YouTube. Oh, for the love of God, that must be the app that gets used most on my phone, I think. I like using Swarm, which was Foursquare's new app that they brought out, was it beginning of last year, maybe? Beginning of 2014-ish? I could be wrong. Daylight Gamblers, the man who I talked to quite a lot when Swarm first came out, and we didn't like it. We just liked Foursquare for what it was, because it was everything built in. For those who don't know, it's an app where you can check into places virtually to say that you're at that location. If that location hasn't been created, you can create that location. And whatever it might be, a big area, a shop, a factory, restaurant, blah, blah, blah. The list is virtually endless. You were able to get recommendations for things in the area. You could kind of search for a particular place, the name of a place, or a particular kind of category of place that you wanted to see was near. You could leave reviews, you could read reviews. Oh, it was great before. Then they kind of snapped it in half, the Foursquare app. Foursquare was more for is more for searching for those places now, and Swarm is for kind of checking into places, and it's got that social aspect where you can follow people should they allow you to follow them, so you can see where they're checking in. Massive security implications, of course, because you're checking into places to say that you're there. Yes, you can say that, you know, there are, I don't want to say flaws, but there are the possibilities where you can check into a place and you are much, much further away from that. But nonetheless, if you're checking into that place, you're checking in because you are probably very near to that thing, that place. Okay, well, that was a short song, wasn't it? I've run out of songs now, so you have to listen to my voice. PDQ. PDQ is... where are you going? Come here. Flipping dog. PDQ is kind of a twist on the Diptych app, another photograph app where you can place a number of images in kind of frames within the square format, and add effects, change the borders and styles and colours and things like that, and share that out. Really, really nice app. PDQ, that is. I've got loads of apps. I just want to talk about the few that I use all the time. ViewRanger's the app I use for tracking my routes when I'm walking, or you know, at the very least, planning routes or just looking at the ground by downloading tiles, what they call tiles, which are areas of mapping from ordnance surveys. From originally obviously Ordnance Survey, but ViewRanger are licensed to sell those tiles on. What else should we talk about here? Do they cause you to waste more time? Right, okay, yeah, definitely. Oh my god, if I take my mobile phone to the loo, I could be there for a long time, looking through Facebook, looking through Twitter, watching a film. Oh yeah, sorry, Netflix. Oh, I love Netflix. Looking at Netflix, watching Netflix. So do they make me waste more time? Yes, they do, yeah. My wife will be slapping me on the back of the head now and kind of mime nodding at me, going, yeah, with a cross look on her face, yeah. Forever telling me to get off my phone. Which apps are your favourite and that you can't live without? YouTube. Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. And social networking things. See, my take on social networking things is I like to keep up with people. There is this thing that Facebook is the devil. Am I a believer in that? Facebook is the devil when it's put into the hands of people who can't control themselves or it, or take it too literally. I haven't gone to the extent, I don't know people. Ooh, I don't know people who allow. What am I talking about? Quite the opposite. I was going to say I don't know people who allow it to control their lives. When actually I do. I know a few people who allow Facebook to control their lives. So. Yes, I could live without it, but it's nice to keep up with extended family, really, to see what they're getting up to. And you don't need to communicate with them directly, do you? Come on, Sassy Cat, what's the next one? Here we go. Was there an app that really disappointed you? Was there an app that really disappointed me? There are lots of crap apps out there, aren't there? You're like, oh god, I download them because they're free. I'm very wary of apps that I have to pay for. I'll do a lot of research even before I fork out 79 pence on an app. Was there an app that disappointed me? I was disappointed when Foursquare split into Swarm and Foursquare. I was disappointed. There was a few updates to Foursquare itself before it split. Now, one thing that Foursquare did was they did announce a long time before they produced Swarm that that's what was going to happen. So we saw it that, you know, there was a handful of us using it at the time, and the in this kind of audio boom community, and we got talking about it, and this was a topic of conversation for a while, but when it did hit, when the Swarm app came about, it was a blow to the system. It was, you know, I think a lot of people were disappointed, and but the thing is, we kept with it. Daylight Gambler, Turbo Stream, to name two people. I'm not name dropping here, but those two people were, and I were talking about that kind of split. And so, was I disappointed with it? Yes, I was disappointed with the split, and I was disappointed with Swarm at the start. It was nice to... It took on a different social aspect, did Swarm. It didn't keep the same type of social aspect. So, it became two products. When beforehand, it was one product, and I personally thought it worked well. The only thing that was bad about Foursquare, I thought, was sometimes it couldn't put you in a place. It couldn't locate you at that where you were actually stood. The app thought you were quite a distance away, whether it was hundreds of yards, because it's in yards and miles, or even miles away. So sometimes it's a little bit disappointing on that front, but I think that was the one app which disappointed me. Are there any other apps that disappointed me? I don't know. Okay. What's your opinion of the smartphone app for the future? I'm reading this, you see, so... reading this off the Tumblr post that Sassy Cat's made. Right, here we go. Okay, my opinion for the smart app. I think we're going to have a lot more to do with location services. I think there's going to be a lot of automatic tracking of where you are. There was some talk about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, with this Apple iBeacon business, where using Bluetooth technology, you would receive notifications on your iPhone specifically about offers, information in the very near vicinity of where you were. So if you were walking through a shopping mall, you would receive these pop-ups about, as I say, information about whatever, or offers or sales or whatever. I don't think that's going to come about specifically with Bluetooth, because it just, people don't have Bluetooth. I only have Bluetooth switched on in the car for when the phone is connected to the telephone system in the car. So it's still out there, the old iBeacon. But getting back to the old location services business, I think we are going to see some more focused efforts on tracking an individual to see what his lifestyle does and where he goes or she goes, so that they can sell you more products. And along with this, adverts. I think adverts are going to play a big part. Twofold. Adverts based on what you're looking at on the internet. So we've got that already with very clever algorithms that search engines use, and location services. So, when you're scrolling through with a lost dog. Hey! Come here. Here she comes. When you're scrolling through the YouTube pages, I don't have ads that pop up really, because I've got an ad blocker. But beforehand, you'd see some very... Hang on a minute, how does this website know that I want a pair of Salomon running shoes? How do they know that? Because I've been looking at that past few days. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I think we're going to see a lot more of focused ads appearing in apps as part of this whole ad ecosystem. Apple, I know I keep talking about Apple, but this is the negative thing. When they brought out iAds, I don't know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I was like, I don't want iAds. I don't want ads. I don't want ads at all. It's a waste of bloody time. You look at Sky News, you tap on a video within Sky News and you have to watch 30 seconds of a commercial. It's a pain in the arse. I want to watch I want to get to the news, read it quickly, and I'm not freaking interested in ads. So I think we're going to see a lot more ads, and ads are going to be the downfall of ease of use and ease of viewing of apps, because I think we're going to have a proliferation. Okay. What's your opinion of the smartphone app for the future versus using a pencil and paper to write your shopping down? Now, when I read that, I thought instantly of Bernie Goldbach, who's at Top Gold. I thought of Mac McColgan, who's at McColgan. Bernie writing in his moleskin. McColgan writing his cards to prompt himself or to remind him of things. And I also thought of physical print versus reading the electronic version of a document. And here is the likeness. Here is the comparison, rather, between all of those things. The digital things, sometimes I personally don't take in the information. I don't know what it is. If I've got a printout of the document at work, if I want to proofread a document, I will always print it. I don't know what it is. Something about holding the paper in my hand. It's the physical connection with the words that have been produced. I don't know what it is. On a screen, it's just not real. Do you know what it is? It's the difference between listening to vinyl and a CD. That's what it is. That's my comparison, my analogy of the difference between reading on the screen and reading the physical print in your hand. So what do I think? What do I think is going to happen? I think that... I'm sorry if you're hearing some kind of clicking here. I'm just seeing time and temperature and battery life. As a side note, my handwriting is now terrible. It's terrible because I now type all the time, or I tap all the time. So that's just an aside, but that's just showing you what technology is doing to me. I still like writing things out sometimes. I don't want to follow the letter of what is written in the question. But I want to use the fact that I like writing shopping lists. Sometimes I like writing things out. We have apps that make lists. You know, they're there for us to make lists so we can easily tick them off as the item on the list has been achieved or completed or whatever. I like to handwrite letters of thanks, and I hope you will agree that the reason why I like to do that is because I would like the receiver of that letter to understand that I'm writing it because it's more of a heartfelt gesture that I'm making. It's not just the fact that I'm writing it, I'm cheap. Anybody can type a letter, and you can type and type and type and type. You know, I'm a much faster typer and I'm a much faster thinker when I am a typer. When you write a letter, when you write something, you have to think about what you're saying in your head before those signals transfer to your hand and that pen to make those marks on the page. And that, to me, is a more, it's a more thoughtful process. And that's something I would like the recipient of a letter to understand. So that's why I like, I really try my best all the times when I'm writing letters of thanks. Not that it's that, you know, it's not every 2 minutes, a couple of times a year maybe, that I like to do it by hand. Because it just shows the human soul reality. It's the soul of that person that's gone into that document. I think, to conclude, some of these companies and firms and developers, and they really do work hard to think of useful apps. I've often thought in the past, if I was going to create an app, what am I creating an app because I just want to create an app and sell it for lots of money, or do I want to create an app to do something specific? And it's definitely the latter, you know. If I had the skills, then I probably wouldn't use them, you know, until the time I really needed to create something that is going to be useful either for me and or for the greater masses. So there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, I don't know, of apps in all of these app stores and marketplaces and whatever they are. And I actually think only a very small, very, very small percentage are actually of any use whatsoever. I've downloaded hundreds of apps. And just the other day, I was looking through the iTunes library on my computer, the app section, thinking, I need to delete all of, half of these because, you know, I don't use them. You know, I'll download an app to see what it's like. Free ones, of course. I'll download an app to see what it's like, and no use. I'm not interested. So, yeah, just the useful ones, I think. Yeah. That's my first post, people. For February, day one. I'm looking forward to listening to everybody else's. Take care, y'all. Bye-bye.
All one word. All one word. Out. One word. Out. One word. Out. One word. Out.